this book and where they're from.
All right, just a moment, please, Tova. I'd like to get you introduced here properly. And
out of the line of fire in the
let's see, here we can do this out of the way. So, and you want us to then follow along as you go along?
Yes, as we go along.
I'm going to do this. Do you mind if I put this over your head?
Oh, I guess not.
You can put your arm right through there.
Okay.
I'll just put this
what
right
is
down
this?
To you. It's just a little tape recorder so we can hear you, okay?
Okay.
Yes, this is Monday, September, no, what is it? It's June?
June.
Today is June 4th, 2007, and Tova Buren is going to give us a tour of our Doherty House. And we hope to be able to use this tour to let other people know the many advantages here in the Doherty House, as well as to be able for us docents and other hosts that work in the Doherty House on Sunday afternoons to be able to learn many of the lovely things that Tova knows about. So thank you, Tova, for doing that.
Well, I don't feel like the last word, but I usually start by saying Doherty didn't build this house. James O'Leary, whose picture's on the wall, built this house in 1888, and that was a year before statehood, so we can call this a territorial house. And he thought he was building this for himself and his bride, but she jilted him. And if you have children, you have to tell them what that means, because they've never heard that word, jilted. And so they never lived here. And some other people lived here. We have a picture of the Waxburgs who lived in this house when it was down by the river, because this house was built by the river in the little settlement of Cherry Valley. And later in 1910, when the railroads came through, the railroads wanted the flat area, and so they moved all the buildings that were in the way down there, and this house was moved up the hill. And I usually tell everybody that it had to be pulled by horses, I believe, and that they put logs under it. And I have heard that Mrs. Doherty stayed in the house the whole time, that she didn't want to leave the house even though it was being moved. By that time, her husband had died, and she was a widow with eight children. There's a picture of the barn, and the barn was out here at this building. So her husband died, and they lived here. They bought this place in 1898, 10 years after it was built. And a Doherty lived here until 1983. And the last Doherty to live here was Leo, and he died here in 1983. And so because there was a Doherty family here so long, it's called the Doherty House. She had to make a living for all of those children, and she had 800 fruit trees, I believe, in the orchard, and she had apples and prunes and could sell those. She also had loggers out in the bunkhouse and boarded them, and I imagine that since she had to feed eight children in the house, she fed them out there. So we look at take a glance at the bunkhouse before we go to another room. And now if you'll come into the parlor, we'll look at the parlor.
What was this room used as?
Yes, people ask me that. What was this room used as? I would think that this was the dining room, that there was a kitchen in the dining room, and then the parlor. And when we're in the parlor, I'll tell you a little more about the different rooms, and then we'll go upstairs and we'll end up back down in the kitchen.
Is this original?
No, and wait till we get to the parlor and I'll tell you something more about all the things.
Before you begin, I just want to check your little pouch here and see how you're doing.
Okay.
Make sure that you're done. Is this working right?
That's cute.
I don't think I've ever been in this room.
Well, I guess you're... Oops, is it in the pocket? Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You haven't been here?
I don't think I've ever been in this room.
Okay.
Well, okay. Now, do we have everybody's coming or some stragglers?
Yeah, I think you're still straggling in here, maybe.
Some are not coming in.
Oh, okay. This is the parlor, and as Leo Doherty said when his niece wanted to buy some new furniture for the parlor, why would you do that? Nobody's been in there for 50 years. And so the parlor was used when there was a family here and a Mrs. Doherty, mostly for company. And we have a picture of some Dohertys here. Here's Leo, who lived in the house so long. They were a Catholic family. One of the sisters, Kathleen, I have to look that up. Kathleen was a nun, and one of the sons was a priest. And then we have the youngest son. And this, all of the house was not in the best of shape. It had been empty for a while by the time the Historical Society started it. And so this room particularly, the ceiling had fallen and there was a big hole in the plaster. And this Victorian type wallpaper was put on by our members, Bill and Helen Lostleben. And we have a fainting couch, which was used in those days, and it came from someplace here in the valley, although the furniture was taken from this house in anticipation that the house might be torn down. So the Historical Society has furnished it. The fainting couch was made with mohair, and so we had it covered again in the same thing when it was redone. The piano used to ride around in the back of a truck for street dances, and we're glad that that was given back to us as a Duval thing. And we know that Mrs. Doherty probably never was lying on the fainting couch. And I often tell the children, they say, a fainting couch? And I say, many ladies in those days wore these really tight corsets, and doing any kind of exercise, they just really felt faint. And we even have a peacock fan that you could fan somebody as they were lying there if you needed to do that. So,
Yes.
Okay, good. When the Historical Society wasn't in here for a while, vandals broke in and they either took the mantle and the surround of the fireplace or else they burned it up. And so we had to have a new one made, and the Catholic Church gave us money to buy a new mantle, but new mantles didn't fit this fireplace. And so Cyril Heavens made this with hand tools. And we have a picture of Leo in a newspaper where he's leaning on the mantle, and so we knew what it looked like. So Cyril made us another mantle. It looks very much like the one that was already here. In fact, the walls really didn't look good at all, and you can see that on this patch as we go up the stairs.
Before we leave this room, can you tell us about these furnishings? Were any of these in the Doherty house?
No, the furnishings were taken, and even the chandeliers and everything, the heirs thinking that the house would be torn down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before Leo died, he sold the property to the Archdiocese of Seattle, and they thought they had 40 acres, so they thought they had 3 10-acre pieces to sell and have enough money for the fourth 10-acre to build their church. Then they found out they had 36 acres, and this house was taking up 10 acres, and they felt that they really needed to make enough money for their church. And so with about 10 years of work, the Historical Society was able to get the county to buy the property with open space money and give it to the city. So the city owns property and the house, and we have a contract with them that the Historical Society will keep this open as a historic house. So, so just line up here just a little bit. And this is what the walls looked like. They were rather blackened and they had bad places in. And so we had it called skim coating because a very thin coating was put on. But we left this for two reasons, partly to see what it looked like in a lot of the house, and partly because you can see a pattern here, something went up the stairway, and since we didn't find any nail holes or any screw holes, we don't think it was another banister or wooden. We think it must have been a paper piece that was decorative. And we're very glad that this house is very sturdy on its foundation. We didn't have to do any big structural work, and the stairway is in good shape and it's sturdy too. Although tall people tell me that the banister is too low, but it's fine for me.
It doesn't need code today.
So we'll go upstairs and look at the bedrooms. Well, you don't have to be very fast to follow me.
No, I'll be the fast people.
We can put somebody way over here. Do we have everybody that's coming up? This tiny room we thought we would call the baby's room, although we don't know who slept where. And we have a crib that is about 100 years old. We have the baby in the crib is 90 years old. It belonged to Velma Hill, who is 91. And so she gave us her doll. And we have the Coster's table, which is 100 years old. And we have a few other dressers and things in the baby's room. Upstairs, we have a marvelous view of the valley and of Mount Baker when it's not cloudy. And one thing that we see when we're looking out the window is where the river is. And in those early days, the steamboats came up the river. Everything that the farmer sold had to go down the river on steamboats. Everything that anybody bought at Cherry Valley had to come up on the steamboats. When the Doherty boys heard the steamboat whistle, they ran down to the swing bridge because the boat couldn't go under the swing bridge. But if you cranked it, it turned out to the middle and let the boats go under. Oh. So they, I imagine they received a little money from the captain for opening the bridge. And let's go across the hall. Get the light on. We call this room the daughter's room, and as I say, we don't know who slept where, but with eight children, there must have been quite a few people in each room. And in this room, we have a brass bed that came from Gail Three's Eyes, and we're very happy to have it because it's a beautiful thing. And on the bed, we are now going to keep this quilt, which was made by the Campfire Girls in 1926 and has the names of women who lived here at that time, and you can read about many of these women in our books because you'll recognize their names. If you look across the street, you'll see a gray building that's an apartment house, and at one time that was the Cherry Valley School. They took the top story off. And when we go downstairs, you can see a picture of it the way it looked when the students went to school there. If you'll notice, there are no closets in any of the bedrooms, and people hung their clothes on hooks or put them in dressers. And of course, people didn't have so many clothes. They didn't need walk-in closets in those days. And I can remember when we wore our clothes a few more days because it wasn't easy to throw them in the washer and dryer. I can remember when I was a child, I was supposed to wear my school dress Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, then wear the other one Thursday and Friday. But by Wednesday, it was so bad, I always had to change on Wednesday because I would fall down on the playground or something. But
And you had a separate day at this for Sunday?
Yes. Had Sunday weekend. And as soon as we got home from school, we took those school clothes off and put play clothes on, we called, so that we'd have a better dress for the next day. Another bedroom. And we call this the boys' room and have some pictures on the walls that we think looks like it would be a boys' room. We have a hobby horse for a very young child with a wheel to ride and an ancient clarinet.
Oh, that's neat.
And we have some horses and a man-made all of the leather for the horses, and he made the all the wagons and things that pertain to farm and logging. And we have some more, and we'll try to display those too. And we thought this was a good place. I'm going to show you something from the corner too. Here's a pair of stilts. They're very beginner stilts, not very high to step on, and you can tell they're homemade. And so if you use stilts, well, you recognize these, of course. This is the only room where we were able to save the linoleum. And this linoleum is supposed to look like a rug. And these are the kind that we went to Penny's or Sears or Montgomery Ward and bought for houses once in a while. We'd say we have a room that is 9 by 12, and we would try to get one that came almost out to the side, but it was before the days when you glued things down all the way to the wall. And so we were glad we could keep this one, and the others were too destroyed. Now we'll look across the hall. You might think that this looks like the parents' room because we have a nice big double bed in here, but since Mrs. Doherty was a widow for so many years, in those days, in her widow days, I imagine she slept in one of the very small rooms, and there may have been four children here because it was a large family. This bed, too, came from the tree size, and also the painting, and we felt that both of those were really interesting. We have a few clothes that were still here. Very few things were left here, but these clothes were. This looks more like a 20s or 30s dress, but this is an ankle-length skirt, and this suit is well-made, all-lined. Whoever wore this, Mrs. Doherty or her daughter, had a waist that size, so we think that's rather nice, too. The quilt was made by one of our members' grandmothers, and as you can see, it has the 1-inch squares that are all hand sewed together, and yet, even though she made these from leftover material from dresses she had, cotton dresses, she managed to make a pattern with the white and the lavender and the orange, so we're glad to have this quilt. We have a trunk, a steamer trunk, and in my father's day and in the Doherty's day, people who went traveling on the train or ship took this with them, and it looks very awkward now, but they had help, whatever they put on. And we really want to stand this up and open it up again, but we need to find a lock pick, because when we carried it upstairs, it accidentally locked. Oh, so right now, we're not opening it. And we have a few things here that some people really like to see. I always look around the room, and everybody has on canvas or jogging shoes, man-made materials. But when we used to wear all leather shoes, if you got them wet and just took them off, the next morning they had shrunk. And so people bought these to put in their shoes to keep them stretched out, and you had to buy something that's the right size. This is 7.5, whoever used that one. We have a hot water bottle because there wasn't central heat in every place, and if you went to bed in a cold room, maybe you wanted to take a hot water bottle with you. So
there was not heat upstairs here, was there?
Well, there's a furnace, and there's a chimney but there aren't registers, so no.
Wondering about these in the ceiling. You see, there's one there and the other one.
Yeah, and I don't know when those were put in. Leo had an electric heater in the kitchen, and that was mostly what he used, and he lived in the kitchen and the back two rooms and didn't use the rest of the house. And they said the rest of the house got cold. So I don't know how much of the furnace that he used. And then the fireplace in the parlor, you know, could heat too. So I'm not sure how much of that they used. And they had a wood stove. And they said the wood stove down in that room where we were was so smoky, as Ray puts it, you could smoke salmon down there. And we could tell the walls and everything were so smoky. And we thought we would scrub that. And we scrubbed and scrubbed, and it still it had to be painted over. So. Yeah. And all of the doors and woodwork we left the same as it was, and some of them have bubbled with age, and I thought maybe some of this was from smoke or something, but architects tell me that the woodwork just does that finally, and we didn't want to cover any of this up. The architects were especially interested in doorknobs too. And after looking over this marvelous house, all they were talking about were the doorknobs and the hinges. So I had never looked at the hinges before, but you can see they're very ornate.
Yes.
So there are little things that some people see and really enjoy.
I have saved my doorknob after my grandfather's cabin.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Yes, and I guess it wasn't this house. There were some doorknobs.
What door does this door go into?
Oh, and this is a closet, probably a linen closet, and it has. It only opens this far right now, and we need to get somebody to help us open it a little farther, and then maybe we can have something there.
I see.
So we'll go down to the kitchen, which is fun. Oh, would you turn off the light back there, whoever's at the end, Mary?
What?
If you'll turn off that light.
Yes.
Okay. Vandals broke in the house when we weren't here and threw some paint down the stairway, so we have something there. That would be fun. Usually when I'm here, I open the front door and tell them about Ruth Bellamy being in charge of our yard. Maybe I'm going to open the door. And Mrs. Doherty had pink roses and pink dahlias. Is that what I want to say? Dahlias?
Dahlias.
Along the walkway, and so we've continued that. And some of the things out by the fence are very old things that were here when Leo Doherty was here, and he tried to keep his mother's yard in good shape.
Along those lines, Leo Doherty gave me a set of four fence posts that my grandfather had made for and had installed here. And my grandfather used a broad axe, and it was just as smooth as if you'd planed it. Squared off.
They were talented, yeah. And Leo was too.
Wow.
There is a sign down there.
We're going to look at the
swing and the 2 inches out there.
Oh, yes.
The dark green.
Well, yes. Weren't they green when you gave them to us? I thought so.
I thought they were blue or something.
Oh, I think they were. I think they're the way they were. Now, I said that the furniture in this house has been donated, and we have an old-fashioned wood stove, and I always tell the children especially that they would need to cut kindling and small wood to put in this end of the stove, and that there's an ash pan, and that heated the whole stove, and you could cook on top of it, and you could bake in the oven, and without a thermostat, this one has one on it, but sometimes the old one didn't, and you just opened this and felt with your hand to see if the temperature was right for whatever you wanted to bake in the oven. So we have some interesting furniture here, including the phone on the wall. Mm. And the phone on the wall, the way the old phones worked, you had to ring up the operator and tell her what number you wanted. And instead of being a 10-number, we have an ad that says, to call the hardware store, call 372, and that's all the numbers you needed to know. And sometimes, most of the time, these old phones, you were on a party line, so there might be as many 10 people on your line, and you listen for your ring, two longs and short, or two shorts, something. And many people, including my aunt, used to answer her own phone and it rang, and then if somebody else's neighbor's phone rang, she waited till they answered, and then she listened to know what was happening in the neighborhood.
Rubbernecking.
Yeah. Get the hell to gossip.
This is a lovely radio, and this piece.
And this piece was still here. So this piece and this one in there are still in the house, and the things in it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And then we've been given this radio, and I'm going to have to learn to know what era it represented.
It's the 30s.
1930s radio, and. I like it's a beauty with the curved and, yes, and all the buttons, yes, and the big dial.
That's wood, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're glad to have the radio.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Every kitchen had its pantry, and this one has its pantry. And there are a few interesting things out here. I don't know how many people remember when milk was delivered to your doorstep in bottles like this with a little cap. And if you were late going out in the middle of winter to get your milk, the cap was sitting on frozen cream that came up.
I used to deliver
you
milk
did.
In bottles like that when did. I was a kid.
Oh, well, we got ours that way too. And here's an old bottle of pop, and it's called Heap Good, has an Indian on it. It's called Big Chief Size, which doesn't seem very big to people these days.
Is that green beverage?
Well, it's just called Heap Good Beverage, so I'm not sure. One of the things we do have from a long time ago is this health supplement from the Hunza Farm. And when someone came here and saw what marvelous soil there was in this valley, they said, this is like the soil in the Far East where the Hunzas live, and they often live to be over 100 years old. And so he grew grass and dried it. They had a plant here and sent this all over. And you put a teaspoonful three times a day in a beverage, and it was like supplements you might take today, I suppose.
Oh, I didn't know they did that from here. Quite a few
pots and pans were left here. And a friend of mine collects these enamelware, and if they look like this or even worse, she thinks they're wonderful. And so we have quite a collection of wonderful enamelware and some other things that we can get out for some demonstrations sometimes. And I don't think that she was a tall person. I'm just imagining this. But she must have had a step stool, because all the cupboards are really up in the air. And I imagine at one time at the sink there was a pump so that water came from the well. And then later Liu had running water in here. And we have a few other things that are always interesting to people who come, the old lunch box and some of the kitchen tools. So we can show those too. Now I imagine that Mrs. Doherty and everybody in the family was so happy to get an indoor bathroom. So we'll look at the bathroom next. And when they could move in from the outhouse and have a bathroom, it must have been great. She sent for this bathtub, and it came up the river from Everett on the little steamer. And it's the regular old claw-footed bathtub that some people love them and pay a lot of money for the antiques now. Some people water their cows in them. And this bathtub was facing the other way, but we had free help with all of the plumbing, and we wanted the plumbing to be working. And so because it's hooked to the other side in the kitchen, naturally turned around. May and I had painted the other side down low, and so now we say, well, now look, it's against the wall. But the plumber was just great, and Cherry Valley Plumbing also bought us the toilet. We had to do quite a bit of restoration in here, the floors and the wall.
If a person wanted to donate more antique stuff, who do we see?
Well, Mary and May and I are on that committee we were talking about tonight, and we said there aren't too many places in the Doherty house to put things, mm-hmm. but we have just recently collected some new things that we found a spot for.
Well, this is,
we don't want to, we don't want to lose things.
Short of room, really.
But we don't want to lose things either. We have some electric things here that aren't the oldest things, the iron and the waffle iron and the toaster, and I particularly love the toaster because it was my job as a child to look after the toast. And most people think toast is automatic and pops up, but in these, you know, you put the bread in and you put it up and you had to watch it that it didn't burn, and then you turned it down and turned it over and put the other side up. So somebody had to really watch the toast. We have some things on the stove, including an egg poacher, which is a little different than usual. And instead of just a double boiler, we have a triple one. And we have something that everybody used until just lately, and a few people still are using, the pressure cooker, because first in water baths and then in the pressure cooker, people grew their own gardens and canned their own vegetables and fruit and maybe even meat and fish. So we feel that this is becoming historic too, although it doesn't seem that old to me, and certainly isn't in 1888.
You're not only collecting things from the turn of the century, but
yes,
to the time that Leo left us,
yes,
here.
Yes, we tried to pick a time.
Early to mid 20th century.
Mm-hmm. So that means
like 1900 to 1950, sort of in that range.
Oh.
Yeah, so some of the things are a little later, but we really enjoy the really early things.
Well, I don't know about everything would fit into what they had when they were using the wood stoves.
Yes, I think they do. Yeah. So, I don't know if I left out things or...
A copper teacup.
The top.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes.
The copper.
And we try to keep in each room who's donated the things to that room. So sometimes we need to update. Sometimes I include talking about this photo of Duval up here and explain that Main Street and or 203 were looking down at it, and that the only building that is left from those days is the white building, the other side of the tree, which now is the Bears About, and it was Hicks General Store when it was at Cherry Valley, and then was moved up when they started Duval, and the train moved things up, and Velma still owns that and leases it. She was born there 91 years ago.
Tova, is that the Duval Church to the far left?
Yes, it is, and the Duval Church was moved up there too. The Duval Church at this time, well, Ruth probably knows more about it. Did it burn or it was remodeled some?
It burned about 1920, didn't it? And then they redid it, and it looks an awful lot like the old pictures. Mm.
But you know, Ruth, don't you, the history of that church, maybe?
I don't know. I think they just tore down the one that was moved.
Okay.
In 1924, they built a new one.
Yes. New one,
so there aren't many buildings that had been down at Cherry Valley. This one and Velma's, and then...
Well, the old grain store of Alana's there.
Yes.
Next to the...
it's now the art
next
school.
What do they call the bird? What's the barbecue?
Oh, it's now called, it used to be the Duval Cafe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So the building to the north of that was what was called the Duval Grange.
Yeah, that was the original Duval Green. Mm-hmm. It was moved up.
Yeah. We have one more room that we now make our office and probably served Leo was the downstairs bedroom because I understood that he lived the daytime mostly in the kitchen and then didn't really use the upstairs or the parlor.
Mm-hmm. No, that was one of the beauty of this house that Joe and Leo lived here for so long as old bachelors, and the upstairs was the same for 40 years. It was
they didn't change anything here, the doors or the walls. That's one reason the county really likes this building is it hasn't been restructured or hasn't been remodeled inside, so it's still the old farmhouse.
Yes, we did have quite a job in this room because I think they smoked salmon in it.
That's what I said.
This room was so black.
Yeah.
Point of interest. That's Virginia Street where the town of Duval says it.
Oh, where it says Duval.
You done?
Yes, I think so.
My grandfather came here in 1908, and he couldn't find a place to sleep. But right up the street here a little bit was a big cedar stump.
Oh.
So